Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Reeves Walker began working full-time at Camp Chioka this past winter after graduating college. He is my brother in Christ who makes me laugh quite regularly, but also challenges me in all of the best ways. His vision and passion have blessed our staff and campers beyond belief as he pushes us to dream bigger for the kingdom. Reeves is our worship leader, but today we'll mostly talk about how God wants to use us in ways larger than we could ever expect or ever dream of or ever imagine. Reeves has been encouraged to do this through his friends and mentors who love him well and intentionally push him. It's Reeves' prayer that we would experience camp year-round, not boxing God into a place or a month, but recognizing the reality of Him in all things. All right, Reeves, welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. So you've been a leader at camp for the past 2 years, is that right?
Yes, my first summer as a counselor was in 2018.
So how has leading at camp changed who you are as a person?
It has definitely led me to find that my heart is with the youth. I want to work with the youth for a long time. I don't know how long, but I feel like that's where God's calling me. That's why I'm here. And I started full time in January of this year after I finished at ULM in construction management.
So in your heart, like for the youth, is that at all affected by your childhood and like people that love's important to you? Or
yeah, so I mean, I was born here and I started coming. I mean, I was at camp like as a camp rat at some point when I was four, and I went all through high school. And at that time, I was living in Baton Rouge, and my good friends, so to say, which were John Luke and Cole and Reed and just their family being here, like we connected with them before we moved. And so coming to camp here, they were the good influences in my life. The counselors that I had as a camper in high school, those were the good influences in my life. And so back at home, I had moved in a direction that was just not as good. And I had a bad group of friends, and that eventually led me to go down a poor path in life. And so for me, just wanting to have an impact like those people did, and even though I tried to take control of my life and I ended up going down a bad path, but if it weren't for them, I may not have known.
Yeah,
I may not have ever realized like, hey, I need to change some things. And I believe that my experiences here and encountering God here in high school are what led me to moving back here, finishing at ULM, and giving my life back to Christ. And
you work at camp all year, and I know you're involved with like high school youth groups and stuff through church and just helping out there. So how do your experiences change the way that you love youth? Like, what is it that's in your mind year round in the way that you serve?
I have gotten involved at the first church I was at. I was involved in a youth group and the college ministry there, and then I found that I needed to make a change. And then the new church that I went to, it's called Christ Church, I go there now. I've gotten involved with the youth there. And there's kids that come to camp and one of them is Tuama's grandson, Avon. And like just being around them all year round is awesome. But really just, like I said, my heart is for the youth, and I want to make that lasting impact on high school age kids, because the number of people that get into college and leave their faith is just, it's outrageous. And I don't want that, you know. I enjoy hanging out with high school kids. I think they're funny. I think they think that they're way funnier than they are, and it just makes me laugh. And you know, they're fun to hang out with. And so being involved with the Christ Church youth and becoming really good friends with the youth pastor, Ty Shirey, has just been a huge blessing for my life. And yeah, that's just a part of how I'm making an effort to stay active in how I'm serving my community. Yeah. And this is only during the summer, so I do that to try to keep myself active
Yeah, and in contact with people.
Yeah.
Which I think is something all camp counselors recognize, and why we're here is because it's just so much more helpful when we reach people at a young age before there's a bigger mess kind of to clean up physically.
Yeah.
But if we can just start them young, loving Jesus, their lives will be really, really beautiful. So when did you start leading worship?
So it's pretty funny. I think it was... It really wasn't that long ago. Like, that's the moral of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that, like, it's just crazy, like, what God has done and is not, like, anything that I just have, like, done myself. It was, like, 2018, I think we did 2 acoustic nights. And there's another guy that had done a couple before in the mm-hmm. years past. But really, all we had really done is a cappella, and that's been a huge camp tradition since 1967. And so,
yeah.
We did those 2 acoustic, and I had just started like playing around with the guitar. And at the time, WFR was where I was going to church, and we had just started the second service with instruments. And so I think that I had become friends with Ryan Lee, who's the worship leader in that service, and he was my college minister. So I was like, I was just messing around with it.
Yeah.
I had no goal. I was just picked up a new hobby. And at the end of the summer, John Luke was activities director. And I was like, hey, next year we should do instrumental worship. And he was just like, yeah, that would be crazy. And then that was it. But then I kept going, and I totally forgot about that conversation.
Yeah.
I kept, like, wanting to learn more guitar just, like, for fun. Like, I was just playing more and more, and, like, very quickly, like, it just started happening. And I started playing with Ryan at WFR for the second service. And then after I had done that for a while, somewhere in there, John Luke became executive director, and whenever he talked to me about what I was doing last summer, 2019. Mm-hmm. I told him I didn't know. I was looking for a construction job, but I wasn't really doing well in that search. And he asked me if I wanted to do the instrumental worship. And so I just said, yeah. I was just like,
yeah.
I don't really have plans. I guess so. And like really not much thinking behind it. I was just like, yeah, I'd love to work at camp again. No idea that it would end up being.
Yeah, which is so cool for me walking in, because I think it was like the first night of staff training that we worshipped out at the pavilion, and I just assumed that y'all had always done that because it seemed well put together, and like it just seemed like it had always been a thing. So then it's cool to hear that you had no goal, that it wasn't for your own motives, and that literally like God just kind of made it happen.
Yeah, and like
bring all these things together.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. Not like that. I switched from LSU to ULM in 2017, and I hung out here. I was around, but I didn't work. So, like, I was really only a year and a half into my, like, faith, for real.
Yeah.
Like, in high school, I don't really consider, like, I don't really think I really understood what it meant, like, for Jesus to die on the cross for me and to, like, save me from my sins and for me to accept that way of life, like, living and following and abiding in his name.
Yeah.
And, like, I just, like, I... Like I said, I didn't think much about it, and as I continued, like, walking in the Lord, I found that, like, this was totally by God, and, like, the fact that I picked up the guitar and did all that stuff, that was all part of his plan, and so when I said yes, I was picturing something way smaller than what God was planning on doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you can see, you got here first year last summer, and, I mean, it turned into something really fast that, like, was not
my doing. Campers respond to it. That a lot of them had never experienced worship in that way before.
Yeah.
And just seeing their relationship with God strengthen and move, all because literally one day you picked up a guitar and like God was in that moment leading you to do that. So worshiping on a stage, leading people to like that moment with Christ, how does that mindset transcend to your daily life and trying to connect people to the Lord?
I mean, a big part of it is like, coming back to West Monroe and experiencing that myself, that was, it had a big impact on me experiencing that and experiencing God in that form of worship. And so wanting to share that with other people, and like, once I understood, like, okay, God, this is something that you want me to do. Well, I mean, one of the biggest motivations is that alone. Like,
yeah.
Like the fact that he wanted to use me to do something like this. I mean, I thought that in every way possible, I was unqualified. But as I got to understand, like, the characteristics in the heart of God, like, I understood that, like, no, in fact, he wants me to do this. I mean, it's very clear. Like, all my other job options were shut down for that summer. And, you know, I just, like, as I've continued to do that, I've tried to be open to, you know, this may not be, like, one day, like, God might want me to do something totally different. And I try to stay in tune with that. But, you know, as long as I feel like this is still what God wants me to do, it's really easy for me to enjoy doing it. It doesn't feel like a job. And, yeah, I want to share that experience with other people. And I go into it knowing the responsibility that is put on me. Like, I am not up there to elevate myself. I'm there to elevate God. I'm there to glorify his name and lead people into an interaction with God. Like, that's what it is, you know? So, yeah.
That's something so beautiful for me, like, watching you live out your calling, is that you take it so seriously. Like, the things that God's called you to do, is you are disciplined and diligent, like, in getting them done. Whereas I can, like, toy around with ideas and kind of, like, wonder, but I feel like your eyes are just so set on fulfilling his purposes for you, which is just so beautiful. So you said it never feels like a job, but, like, are there temptations to kind of make it like a job mindset and forget that it's about him, or be on stage and be worried about other things and, like, you yourself worshiping? Kind of how do you balance that?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's natural, like, me saying, you know, I'm not there to elevate myself. That's something I have to tell myself daily. And I make a point to say it at, like, no matter what, like, where I'm serving at, where I'm leading at, like, the team that I'm on, I try to make a point to say that at some point and just remind our team, like, hey, this is not, we're not here for ourselves. We're not here to elevate ourselves, because I think that that's the biggest temptation for worship leaders. I think that it's a perfect opportunity for someone to pursue a music career and, like, justify every aspect of it. Yes. They're literally like, no, it's for God. No, it's, you know, I'm leading people, but then they just want to show off, like, what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, like, yeah, I battle with that. That's why I want to say it so much. I want to, like, I mean, I'm a human.
Yeah.
I think that it's, like, as much as this, all of this was a surprise, you know, I see, like, where God has blessed me and maybe given me gifts, and, like, I don't think I can know how to properly do that. All I can do is trust in God and try to follow him as best as I possibly can while staying in tune with what he's calling me to do. And so, you got to figure out ways to, like, battle that temptation.
Yeah, and that's a temptation for anyone, not just worship leaders, but whatever we're doing or wherever the Lord has gifted us, to remind ourselves every single day, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about me. Yeah. And, like, things I don't want to do, or even, like, at camp when I'm asked, I'm like, I don't want to clean the girls' bathhouse. Like, it's not about me.
Sure.
It's about something bigger, which is the kingdom, then broken down into camp. So why has, like, music proved to be important in your relationship with the Lord? Like, how do you find God present there?
It's a good question. I definitely think that I just have had a connection with music for a long time. I've always enjoyed listening to music, and so that has had a pre-existing presence in my life. And so I think that when, like, I really came to understand that God wants my heart, and, like, I fully surrendered to that, and then understanding, like, simultaneously, like, this is another way to worship him.
Yeah.
It just became immediately emotional for me, and it became like I understood, like, I think that those happening at the same time was just how that happened for me. And I don't think that that's the only way it had to happen.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure that I fully know.
It's cool because it's just, like, a part of you. And a lot of those things that are so deeply ingrained in us, we can't really express.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I love it.
And for campers listening, or anyone listening, what are, like, your top music recommendations? Who are your people? Who inspires you in that way?
I love and hate this question. 'Cause I mean, obviously, I really look up to some people that are out there. I think, like, from... And I also don't want to sound cliche, but whatever, you know. I think that going to Passion the past 3 years, one of the biggest inspirations for me is Louis Giglio. And you would think, like, what does that have to do with music? But, like, him and Shelly have just really done a great job and have led a great example of what it means to follow, like, God's calling on your life. And, like, the amount of people that they have impacted because they were obedient to his calling is just, it's outrageous. I mean, it's crazy. Like, the going to Passion this past year, and I think it was like 60,000 to 70,000 people in that stadium in Atlanta, and it's just, it was crazy. It was just seeing how many people, just from looking around the room and watching everyone raise their hands and worship, like, that's, like, that's awesome. And that motivates me, that alone. And then somebody else that I feel like the motivation that I'm getting from these people is, like, them being obedient to, like, what God's calling them to, and then seeing all the people that God was able to work on and in their lives, like, through that. The other person would be Joel Houston with Hillsong United. That's my pretty much go-to with who I listen to. I love their music, but I also just love, like, what they have done. Like, not them. I'll correct myself. Like, God has done it. I'm not doubting that. I'm not saying. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, I think that it started, like, just a youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into, like, a huge ministry. I mean, like, the amount of people that, and the amount of listens, like, just thinking about how many people listen to their music and they're hearing songs that talk about the heart of God and like the gospel, and it's just crazy. Just
yes. And when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, all I want is to just fall on my knees. Like, there's no response to that other than just in awe of who our God is, because they would probably say the exact same thing as you, is like, this wasn't my plan at all. Like, I was just playing guitar for fun for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to hit on Passion really quick, because I remember talking to you after it this year. And it just kind of being a radical heart transformation. Like, what lessons or things did you take away? Not necessarily from this year, but just from Passion in general, since I know so many young people go.
There's a lot going on in that month. We came back and immediately had a college retreat. I had a lot on my mind, but I think that, like, aside from all the amazing lessons and getting to hear Ravi Zacharias, especially with what has happened. It was awesome. I feel like I was definitely poured into from a scriptural standpoint. But, like, just they had some moments in that conference where I think that it was on the second day where, like, they were just, like, it was, like, a personal reflection time. And they gave a lot of time for you to really just, like, pray, find somebody around you to pray with. And I think that there was a moment in that time that I had where I really felt God telling me, like, you know, if you want to feel me, like, moving in your life, like, if you want to, like, really know that I'm present in your circumstances and your situations, like, start looking around you and start praying for somebody else. And, like, in that moment, like, I really, like, just, like, praying with some of the people around me, like, I felt like, I was like, there you are. Like, that was my first thought. Like, I feel you in my life again.
Yeah.
And immediately, like, that's what I felt. I felt God, like, telling me, like, well, if you would just do what I'm telling you to do all the time, like, find somebody, love somebody, pray for somebody, like, think of someone else outside of you for once.
Yeah.
And then you'd feel me in your life. Like, that would be you allowing me to work in your life.
That's the heart of God.
And, yeah. And so that was definitely a big takeaway for me. Compassion.
Yeah, and I know, like, a month before that is when you were graduating college and, like, still really didn't know what you were gonna do, and there was just, like, a lot of uncertainty surrounding that. But now it's cool to see God's faithfulness and that you're planted at camp and you have the house that's like literally here, and that you're able to hang out with the guys and like just foster that community every single day. So what has that meant to you, and like what does that community mean to you?
Oh, I mean, it's for the time that it happened, and it meant the world. I mean, I was about a month from graduating, and I had no idea what I was going to do. And I mean, my degree was very good, and I had tons of experience, but the companies that I wanted to work for, when I thought I was going to just go full on construction route, I just, it wasn't working out. And at some point I was working out here, just working by the hour. And I had been since March of last year. This is like November last year. And I was I never drive without music. Like, it's just natural. Like, I just like listening to music. But like for that day, I was so upset. Like, I was just so overwhelmed and stressed out that I didn't know what my plans were. And I remember I was about to, like, I was trying to think of the words to say to describe how I felt. And it was literally like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to me? Like, I was asking God, what are you doing, like, right now? Like, what's your plan here? Because I have no idea. Like, what do you want me to do? There's nothing that I feel like all the things that I've tried to do and like tried to like figure out what I'm going to do or where you want me to go, I just have no idea. And then like Willie called me and was like, hey, like, we want you to stay, you know, we want you to do this. Like, whenever you're done with school, like, we want you to be here. And it was in the car.
Wow.
Like, and I was just like, wow. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not, like, I'm not exaggerating at all. Like, that's exactly how it happened. And
yeah,
I don't believe in coincidences, but I mean, it was just a really rare moment that I was just like, okay, that was a direct, like, I don't think that that's how God always communicates to us, but
it's nice
that's
when
what
he
decided to do that time. And I was just like, okay, that was relieving.
Yeah.
But since then, it's just been a blessing. I mean, like, getting involved with some of the, like, communities that come out here in the off season, I've found more community. I've found really just awesome leaders that are just pouring into me. Like one being Ty Shirey at Christchurch, and it's been amazing. I mean, it really has. It is just, I mean, I think that this is like stepping into ministry. And so for me, I've really seen the benefits of being a part of a job that you're pretty much in ministry. Yeah. And
which is cool, because half the time your ministry is singing on stage and the other half it's cutting grass.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do both to make the kingdom work.
Yeah.
So that's with Ty awesome. And like with other mentors you have, what has been the importance of having them in your life and just having good mentors?
For me, it's, I have to just vocalize all the dumb things that are in my head. Like, that is commonly how me and Ty just interact. Like, just go eat or whatever, and I'll just say, like, feel like blah blah blah. Yeah. And then he'll just be like, you're an idiot. It's not it at all. And I think that that's important for me. I think it looks different for everybody, but
yeah.
That is, having a leader in your life is something that I think is extremely important. I think it's essential to walking in faith and being active in your faith.
Yes, because I know I'm the same way when I, like, meet with my mentors and stuff and hang out with them and just tell them what's going on. There's a million I feel statements,
mm-hmm.
and it always comes back to, well, our feelings aren't always right, and, like, we can't use those as our guiding compass. They're just people to remind us of truth and who we are and, like, who God is. And then kind of on a different side of the community, what about just, like, your normal friends out here who are your age that you get to live alongside?
Well, one of them, Jonathan, he's been coming out here and playing electric. He has very quickly become one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Me and him and Ty hang out a lot. Some of the people that I work in on the youth team with at Christchurch that aren't necessarily out here have just become really close friends to me. And the list would be endless. I've definitely gotten closer to John Luke and Mary Kate now that they're here again, because they were off at Liberty for so long. And also, right now, this is probably the closest I've ever been to my mom. I know I've talked with some of y'all about that, like, last night. We were just talking. And my mom plays piano, and like, it's just, I was telling her about it the other day. Like, it's just such a blessing to get to play with your mom, like, mm-hmm. in this setting. And it is, I mean, like, there's different things that have happened, you know, quarantine, for whatever reason. Right now, I feel closer than ever with my mom. And,
yeah.
It's been nice. Like, just, right now, she's one of my main people that I will go to and just talk about whatever is going on and really seek the wise counsel that she has.
Yeah.
And she has an advantage. I mean, she's my mom. She understands me. But that, I mean, that's me trying to take advantage of that too. I think that she's got good advice and
yeah. And that's, I think, or I pray that that's a theme for a lot of people coming out of 2020 is being home and having our schedules change, is that we are closer to the people in our homes who a lot of times we just kind of forget they're there, but there's just been so much more interaction.
Yeah.
So kind of wrapping up, first is, what would you go back and tell yourself before ever coming to camp?
I don't know.
As a camper or as staff?
I don't know. It's just, as staff, I think there's definitely been summers that, out of the past two, there's definitely, like, me and some of my closest friends that are here now, we've come here wanting to be distracted by a significant other. That is definitely one that I have personally struggled with, and I watch people struggle with every summer, and it's not, like, it takes away from the impact that, like, God is trying to make on your life, even as a staff.
Yeah.
Here, as staff, like, God is trying to work on all these counselors too. And I think that he does.
Absolutely.
But if you're distracted, you know, you may miss something. And
yeah, the same way we don't want our campers to remember their summers by, like, who their camp crush is. Like, we don't want to remember it by that either, because God has so much more.
Yeah.
In all of the parts of camp than just that. And then last one, just for you, Reeves, is, what do you want to tell yourself off the, quote, camp high months from now, when everyone's gone and you're back hanging out here by yourself?
Yeah. And we talked about this, so.
Yeah.
I personally think that camp high is a term that should not be used. I think it was just made up by somebody that went to a camp and encountered God. I don't know if that's a term that's around here, or I'm sure people talk about that
all the time. Like, it's universal, yeah.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's just so weird that people want to, like, say that. Like, Camp High is not something that is exclusively found at camp. Camp High is just you encountering God, and, like, you opening up your heart to, like, God in your life. Like, whether you're a Christian or not, like, people that, and that's why I don't like it being used, because people that maybe aren't Christians come to camp and then they're told, oh, you're going to experience a camp high.
And it's going to end and you're going to go back.
Like, yeah, like, so to say, high, and then you're going to just get off of it.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's, like, that is not the heart of what we teach, and so I don't think it's, like, a known, like, mistake. I don't think people know that it's a mistake. I don't think it's that big of a deal either. It's just kind of a personal opinion. I want that to be said. I don't want people to think that this is something that, like, what you experience at camp where God is present is just God being present. Like, that is offered to us in, like, throughout the year round, not just summer. Like you should, I think that it is very clear in the Bible. Like, you look at, like, Psalms, like, David talks about there are green pastures and still waters and mountains and valleys. And we will go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. But, like, there is a distinguishing, like, difference that there are two different seasons of your life. Or maybe, like, three. Like, a peaceful one, a high, like, awesome one, and a really low and terrible one. Like, and few and far between. And, like, if you're not involved in community and you're not, like, walking in faith, yeah, you're probably only going to experience this in the summer when you come to camp.
Yeah.
But if you, like, what I think is important to know is that community is the biggest part of being a Christian, like, one of. I mean, obviously, you need to have a relationship with God. It's kind of like the inferred part of it. It's an understood thing. God wants your heart. God wants to know you. It doesn't matter what you do. Like, I think in Matthew 5, it's like, get out of my sight. I did not know you. They just talked about all the stuff that they had done, or they thought that they had done that are awesome. God literally didn't care. And he's just like, I want to know you above all.
I want you to be mine.
Yeah. And like, I think that the church operates as a great opportunity for you to get involved with the community of believers, find leaders that are pouring into you, and then find a way for you to pour out into others. I think that's a circle that has to happen for you to continue moving forward in your faith. You're just going to get stuck. And then you won't feel like a camp hot or whatever. You won't experience God in your life if you're not doing that stuff. And so I think that it's great that we're talking about this, because I want people to know that this is not like what is happening at camp. And if you haven't been to camp before, what you might experience at camp, what we pray that you will experience at camp is not exclusive to camp. I think that people just get a little bit confused by that term.
So, yeah.
Which, you know, it's whatever. Like, it's I'm not whatever. Telling people like, yeah, you're wrong. Like, stop saying that. But
like, we want that to be brought to light, because that's what's cool to see that lived out in you, is you work at camp year round. So you could say, camp is my family, camp is my ministry. That's all I'm going to do. But logistically, you're only going to be with kids for 2 months.
Yeah.
And the rest of the year you'll be planning. So you've been so intentional to take that mindset and that kingdom mindset throughout the year by becoming so involved in a church and interacting with people there. And that's so much the heart behind the podcast, is like reminding our campers year round of a kingdom mindset and that God is still accessible to them. And like remembering the things that we teach them, like to read scripture every morning, to pray every morning, and just to keep those things going, because God wants to encounter us.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I don't mean to sound like I don't mean to give off the impression that I'm saying that becoming a Christian means ultimate happiness all the time. Like, I mean, there's going to be, like I said, hard times. Yeah. There's going to be valleys that we walk through, but you will get to experience some of those moments where, like, you know, you're like plugged into a community and like you just look up. I don't think it's like a defining moment, but you look up and there's a season in your life. You're just like, I love you. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like, thank you for these people. I think that we just get this overwhelming feeling of thankfulness and gratitude. I think that's when we feel that pouring out and all we want to do is thank God, like, I think we're doing something right. And in our faith, like, I think we're being obedient to what he wants us to do. Getting plugged into a community, like building relationships with people, keeping a relationship with God, praying for people. I think it's all meant to be that way.
Yeah. It's so, like, that simplicity kind of that you talked about at Passion, like just look up, look at your neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's it. And like, God is right there, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But we'll pray before we end.
Okay.
Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of friendship, the gift of community, the gift of worshiping. Thank you that you don't call the qualified, but you qualified the called, and that your plans for us are greater than we could ever imagine, and that you take our gifts and that you make them usable for you and for your purposes and for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for the gift of community and the gift that we have here at Camp Chioka with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that all of our campers, that all of our camp family would continue to find community throughout the year, that they would see that your kingdom is not limited to Calhoun, Louisiana, but that your kingdom is planted worldwide, and that there are people who want to walk in friendship, who want to encounter you together, and that you have made that gift available to us. I pray that we would not let summer be a camp high or just a camp thing, but that we would keep a kingdom mindset year round, that we would continue seeking you, we would continue loving you and serving you through serving one another. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka, and live knowing that you are loved.